I do think we're starting to get some signal that the expansion of this network is probably going to come faster than most people think.
But we're here. Like, this is the beginning of software eating the world of manual labor. I think that if Tesla didn't exist, I think that Waymo would be the investment to make for robotaxi autonomous vehicles in the United States.
To me, it seems like Waymo's approach has to be completely rethought, and they have to go full end-to-end neural nets with vision.
I mean, if I was Google, I would have bought Rivian a long time ago, honestly.
The media is going to massively underreport anyone who's not Tesla, and they're going to massively overreport Tesla. And so by default, you're going to have this giant gap in awareness and knowledge. And can I show you part of my video that I recorded today just to kind of drive this point home, like, fully for the audience?
No.
Okay. Well, here's the video.
We want to be kept in the dark.
Okay.
We don't want to see fun, cool robotaxi things.
Okay. So I took this video today with my brother. Let me make sure I'm sharing the audio because the audio is part of the fun. This would already be live on the channel in full, but I want to show parts of it here because I think it really drives home the point that Tesla is very close to being everywhere in Austin very soon, because a company called Waymo is already in Austin, most of the city, and it's doing shit like this. Are you ready?
All right, everybody, we are waiting for a robotaxi in Terry Black's, and we have yet another Waymo causing chaos. Another one causing chaos. Unfortunately, it's parked right in the middle of the road, taking up two lanes, encroaching in the middle lane.
I can't believe this happened twice. And it's not even, it's blocking. Oh, look at that, see? They were probably distracted looking at it.
Chaos.
You can see it's partially on the other lane too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's crazy. Why is it doing that?
That's nuts.
Is it even waiting for somebody?
Yeah, it's looking like it's waiting for somebody right on the top. You can't see it on the camera.
This is crazy.
So it's slowing up traffic.
Hey, look, there's another one right behind it. Oh, sorry. Okay? Yeah, I just tripped.
This is crazy. So we're waiting for our robotaxi to come. The pin says it's going to drop us off.
Oh my God, I think, look at this one.
And there's a Waymo there.
Look at this one.
Let's see what happens there.
That's insane. That's madness.
There's another one there.
This is what I mean. Like, the number of Waymos now in Austin. Oh, it wants to, look. It wants to turn right. Oh my God. What is going on?
This is bye. This is crazy.
Oh my God.
So let's see what this, so it has a right blinker on and it went.
And it went left.
And it went left.
Oh my God, opening. Another.
And now this one's gonna pull over again on this road. This is, Waymo needs to look at
this. You know what I'm surprised? What? This is such a giant tourist spot, you know? I mean,
these guys can't get into the Waymo.
There's another one.
This one opened just fine. There we go. That one finally. Oh, there was somebody in the car.
Oh my God. And there's another one.
Wait, so that's their Waymo.
Look, there's another one down there.
That wants to turn one down there. This is crazy. What is going on? Is that your Waymo?
So, all see, right. This is what I was talking about earlier. This is the problem with having the same color, same vehicle.
Just came out. So the robotaxi just came out of the parking lot, dropping somebody off. Goodbye. I don't know.
You see what I mean? What I was talking about earlier?
Okay. I'm going to stop it there as a sneak peek. So that's a little bit of a sneak peek.
Wow.
Your reaction. I'd like to hear your reaction.
So I guess, was it sitting there because it was stuck, or was it sitting there just because it was waiting for its passengers, or what? And just sitting in the road?
I'm not. So from our vantage point, you'll see it in the full video. There were multiple Waymos that would use the road, that street, to just park in the middle of the road and wait for passengers to come in and out. And it looks like the one that was stuck in the road there had the wrong passengers in there. because it was sitting there for a solid minute or two, and then the people came out, and then the new people tried to go in, but the car was still there. And then another car pulled in front of it on that in the middle of the road.
Yeah.
Then other people went in. And then while this whole chaos is happening, the robotaxi comes out of the parking lot, you know, and then we saw one of the Waymos go in the parking lot, but we saw six other ones just park right in the middle of the road.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is going to be a problem as, you know, Tesla scales up that they might 100%. Have to deal with as well, that, you know, how does it communicate to different people? Whose car is whose? And I know that someone has mentioned that, you know, the customer's name is supposed to be on the little LED screen on the Waymo outside. Yeah. So like they should be able to read it and realize, but if you don't know to look for that, then you might not realize, oh crap, this is not my Waymo. Yeah. So,
yeah. But I think the what's interesting, so that Waymo is operating in a significant portion of Austin and it's running into those issues.
Right? Yeah.
And those are pretty, I mean, I would say that that is significantly more chaotic than anything I've seen from the robotaxi. Significantly.
Yeah, and how many times have you seen that reported by mainstream media sources?
Exactly. Well, it's going to go on the channel. Unfortunately, it's going to have to go on the channel, you know, and we're going to have to showcase that.
I can't believe you're dissing yourself like that.
What do you mean?
Gonna call yourself mainstream media?
Well, no,
it's going on my channel. I guess I'm the mainstream media now.
No, never. That I would never in a million years. Come on, bro. But so we've watched all the robotaxis navigate into the parking lot of Terry Black's. But that's one situation where I think in the intelligence of the technology, that's why it's so important. Because the Waymo
and also the app, like you know, you would think that the Waymo app would be able to communicate with the Waymo car, and the wrong Waymo car shouldn't open for the person whose app is not connected to that specific ride. And that's definitely something that, you know, Tesla has done a lot more work on that end of the software spectrum, just from the cars that, you know, your Tesla app is your Tesla key. Yeah. And it should operate similarly with the robotaxi. So if, you know, the wrong rider tries to come up and get in a Tesla robotaxi, they have all of the technology already built. Be like, sorry, this is not your car. Go figure out the right one, please.
Yeah, because that Waymo's interfacing with the Uber app, not with the Waymo app. That's it. That's another key distinction. Is that this is one of the downfalls of Waymo, is that because they don't have the scale to cover the geofence in Austin, they have to dump their cars into the Uber platform. And the Uber app platform creates situations like we just saw, where you have people getting into the wrong car and the cars are just parking literally in the middle of the road. And you have this chaos ensuing, and because it's not the stack is not fully integrated.
Well, yeah. And we've seen the Tesla pickup and drop off point for Terry Black's is actually in the parking lot. So at least, you know, they're not going to create that confusion out in the middle of the road.
Exactly. At least not a heavily trafficked area. But on the flip side, the two of us saw that behavior in a robotaxi when we asked it to drop us off early. It did drop us off in the middle of an intersection where it blocked the right turning lane. So it's not like Tesla's immune to it, but I am curious if we just let the car do its thing.
Yeah, but you kind of triggered that by saying, let us out early.
But the car should have known not to park there. Even if it's early, it shouldn't be in an unsafe situation.
I guess that's that is going to be an interesting thing for Tesla to figure out, is like, what are the boundaries that you're going to put on, please let me out here?
Exactly.
You're giving the customer the freedom to decide if they want to get out early, and if they want to take the risk of, hey, like, just drop me off in the middle of the road, then it's kind of up to them.
Yeah. Well, so what are your thoughts? I mean, what's top of mind? Thank you to the sponsor of this podcast, Rebellion Air. Now, we know a lot of you are Tesla fans, and especially Tesla investors. And if you have more than $1 million of Tesla stock, Rebellion Air could be the perfect fit for you. Rebellion Air is an investment firm that helps Tesla investors reach their financial goals. They do this by helping you plan for your future, and they also institute strategies like trimming and adding, covered calls, etc. So if you're somebody who believes that Tesla has long-term potential, these kinds of strategies could maximize the number of shares you have by the time Tesla reaches those goals. And the guys at Rebellion Air do this by doing so much research on the Tesla story, and they do a lot of novel research as well. Things like doing cross-country full self-driving trips to really gauge and truly understand the capability of that specific software. They've done really novel research around the energy side of the business and other parts of the business as well. And so instead of dealing with a typical investment firm that may give you the cold shoulder by viewing your investment as too risky, the guys at Rebellion Air will help you reach your goals while fully understanding the Tesla story. And so if you're a Tesla investor and you have more than $1 million of shares and you're interested in finding out more about Rebellion Air, I have a link for you in the description in the comment section below. You can go to rebellionair.com/farzad, and that's how they'll know that we sent you. And now back to the podcast.
My thoughts from the week, or
what's top of
from
mind?
the content,
whatever's top of mind.
Yeah, I guess I've just been reflecting this week on the fact that this is the first installment of Tesla's Meatspace GPT, that we are using the same building blocks to solve for real world work that were used to create the ChatGPT app. And of course, if you're trying to do hard things in the real world around people, especially in a context where you've got, you know, 3,000 pound steel missiles that travel anywhere from, you know, 5 mile an hour all the way up to 85 miles an hour on the freeway, that you have to get that right. It's hard. It takes a while. It's not something that you can do just as quickly as you can vibe code up a ChatGPT app. But we're here. Like, this is the beginning of software eating the world of manual labor. And, you know, driving is just a huge job. Every, you know, almost every adult in the United States who has responsibilities has to drive somewhere at some point in time, and it takes up a giant chunk of their life. And if you don't drive, then maybe you have to take public transportation. Either way, you're being transported around, and you have to expend a lot of effort to do that. And this is just like a 10x improvement over the amount of effort that you have to invest into handling transportation to and from different places. Like, this is a fundamentally new primitive for our transportation system. And yeah, this new primitive will underwrite a brand new transportation system that will be way bigger, way more convenient, and way cheaper than what we have built to date. And you can only do that if you solve for all the fundamental limiting factors. And so, you know, this, if you solve autonomous driving, but you do it in a way that is as expensive or more expensive than having humans drive the cars, then meh, doesn't matter. You know, there's no forcing function that actually creates something that's completely new. And that's kind of the situation that Waymo is in right now, that they have this service that works, but it costs as much or more for Waymo to operate their vehicles as it costs for Uber to operate theirs with the human drivers. And they do have a pathway to scale that and reduce costs over time, but their pathway to do that is much slower than Tesla's pathway. And
I would argue Waymo has no pathway.
I don't think it's none. I think there's a path. I think that if Tesla didn't exist, I think that Waymo would be the investment to make for robo-taxi autonomous vehicles in the United States.
I disagree. I think Waymo's issues are being far suppressed. That's what my gut tells me. I think Waymo's operating right now in a manner where they're... After what I saw today, and I'm thinking about, this is Austin. A lot of the city has Waymos. There's a ton of Waymos running around, and I just saw that happen at Terry Black's. I'm wondering how often is this happening all over the place, but it's not being, but it's being massively underreported. Honestly.
And they're still ahead of everyone else. Like, yes, it is a technology that has issues, and they are, you know, they're going to continue to run into issues as they scale. And I think that they probably are now trying to scale too fast because they, you know, I mean, you were right that they have issues. One of the challenges that Waymo has is they are only collecting data on cars that are operating as robo-taxis. And if you want to train a fully AI autonomous driving agent, you want driving data from all the drivers, all the human drivers.
Yep.
And that's not like the limitations of their data set is going to be a huge challenge. It's going to take something like artificial superintelligence to be able to train a driver that's competitive with Tesla from the limited data set that Waymo has access to right now. So like, they're at a fundamental disadvantage to Tesla 100%, but they're still out ahead of anyone else in the US.
But it's unprofitable.
Yeah.
They're not making money on it.
But Google can fund unprofitable and challenging for, you know, a million years.
Okay. So if that's the standard, then yes, they have a path. But I'm thinking about it from the standpoint of like, to me, it seems like Waymo's approach has to be completely rethought and they have to go full end-to-end neural nets with vision. I think it's
well, I think that they might be. That was part of the conversation that I had with James. Is he said that up until a few months ago, the driving felt very mechanical, and that a few months ago it just got like dramatically smoother all at once. Mm-hmm. He said it feels like Waymo just finally underwent the transition from FSD version 11 to FSD version 12.
Oh, great. So that's good.
So yeah, and you know they're not really public. I've also heard that they have gone to an end-to-end approach from other people. I haven't seen, you know, the direct reporting that supports that, but that's what I've heard several times now.
Yeah. Okay. So that's great. That's fantastic. So I guess from their standpoint, they would have to find a partner that can manufacture the cars for them on their behalf. Right. And then put their
or buy a company. I think that would be, I mean, if I was Google, I would have bought Rivian.
Yeah.
A long time ago, honestly.
Yeah.
And yeah, they should have bought Rivian, and every Rivian on the road should have had a Google sensor package installed on it.
Yeah.
I mean, every Rivian already cost, you know, they're losing money on. What's it to Google if they lose an extra 5,000 on top of what they're already losing, but
yeah,
they get to start turning the crank of the real world driving data flywheel.
Yeah. Those are fair points. I don't know. After what I saw today, I was like, because I wasn't aware that Waymo's were causing this much chaos. I saw some news reports, but now it makes sense. Like, okay, the media is going to massively underreport anyone who's not Tesla, and they're going to massively overreport Tesla. And yep. So by default, you're going to have this giant gap in awareness and knowledge when it comes to the performance of a Waymo in the real world.
It's burning Teslas all over again.
Yeah. What I'm going to do next week is I figured out a way on the Uber app to consistently hail Waymos. There's a preference you can turn on where it says, I would like more Waymos, more self-driving cars, like more often. And then there's an EV only option you can select on Uber.
So if you do both?
I'm going to do both. Yeah. So I think next week, Monday, Tuesday, I think I'm just going to do like as many Waymo rides as I can, and then compare those same routes with Tesla. I'm just going to see how they perform next to each other.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Yeah, I think that would be good. And that Terry Black's parking lot is a excellent use case, because it is a hot mess. It's a hot mess with people. Forget like self-driving cars, because that parking lot is tiny for the amount of traffic that place gets. And it's right on a very heavily trafficked road. And as we saw, you can cause chaos pretty easily there if you're not mindful of your surroundings or like intelligent about what is going on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So fascinating. Really, really fascinating. Are you, so based on your experience and having some time to like mull it over, how were your rides with James Dama?
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, the high level of just all of my rides is that other than the one time that I caused a little bit of chaos by hitting the end ride early button on our drive, every single drive was like perfectly boring. There's like nothing interesting that happened other than dumb things that people around us did and the car reacted perfectly to.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it is so good. It's like, you know, definitely the next evolution of version 13.2.9 that's even better across every single dimension. You know, it's so smooth. It's courteous to other drivers, like extremely courteous, and pedestrians. It's cautious, but it doesn't get freaked out and skittish. And it has a great planning horizon. Like, it looks ahead very well and makes moves in advance, and the reactions have been exceptional as well. And so, yeah, it's like way more comfortable than the vast majority of Uber drivers that I've ever had. And yeah, when you combine that with just how easy it is, and you know, the car's exceptionally beautiful and clean and all the things, and smells nice. Yeah, it is like easily one of the better, you know, ride hail experiences I've ever had. And so if you combine that with anticipated that, you know, these cars are going to be cheaper than other vehicles, yeah, like you don't stick out like a sore thumb. That was one of the other things. Like, if you're riding around in a Waymo, you know that everyone around you is looking at you like, oh, that's one of those weird ass self-driving cars
blocking the ride around road.
Yeah, blocking the road. Like, oh, I've seen these cars. They're those evil cars that people can stick a cone on and they'll just freak out and come to a stop. And you ride around in the robotaxi and nobody knows. Nobody notices. Yeah. Like, I looked for people who would clock the fact that there's nobody in the driver's seat. And out of all 13 rides, I saw just a handful of people that ever realized what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
And so it's just like extremely chill. So
yeah, when we pulled into the Terry Black's parking lot, it like let pedestrians go through. We had a very good clip of it. We had pedestrians walk through. And then the guy's like waving like, thank you. And then he's like, oh shit, there's nobody in the driver's seat. So it was like waving thank you to the driver. And like, he's like, what? It was
really, there is no driver.
There's no driver. Exactly.
But man, my drives with James were great. I love hanging out with James. This is the first time I ever got to meet him in person, but yeah,
he's such a great soul. He's great. Yeah.
And so we talked for, most of the riding, and I recorded the drives, and then we were just chatting. James wasn't quite ready to, you know, do a lot of commentary on Robotaxi yet. He likes to, I mean, we're really to the point, and this is very fair, that it's so good that you actually need a lot of windshield time with the system to really have a well-grounded analysis of whether this is better than the previous versions or not.
Or force it into chaotic situations.
Yep. Yeah. So it needs that exposure. And so he wanted to, you know, get as many rides in as possible. before going too into depth. But yeah, he, you know, we talked about all kinds of things, both related to FSD and just artificial intelligence, and then how the system was behaving. What, there were some cool takeaways that, you know, it seems like the planning horizon is expanded. I think I mentioned that earlier. You know, it just seems to see further ahead and make better decisions instead of waiting. And like, you can kind of tell sometimes in the older systems where you can see it and you know that the cameras can see it, but they're not taking it into account in the decisions that they're making yet. And yeah, that's, you know, there was a limitation, and I don't know whether or not this is a limitation that still exists in version 13.2.9, but the, you know, when they built the occupancy network, you can't extend the occupancy network out in front of you infinitely, because you're like, the amount of computation per square foot that you're doing is fixed in the occupancy network. And so if you have an infinite number of, or not square, but cubic feet, if you have an infinite number of cubic feet in front of you, your compute that it's necessary to actually analyze the occupancy network on the road ahead of you is infinite. So you can't do that. And so it has a cutoff. And that was the reason that that dynamic kind of existed. And yeah, so either they've done some things to extend the occupancy network further in front of it, or they've changed and maybe done dynamic sizing increases to where the further away it gets, the bigger the size of the, you know, cubic volume that it's analyzing is. Or perhaps they've done exactly what they did with the original bird's eye view network, which was, you know, a huge foundational piece of the FSD stack for quite some time. And then eventually they didn't need it anymore and they deprecated it and stopped using it altogether. And so we're not exactly sure where Tesla's at when it comes to the occupancy network, but it could be that they've discarded it and now we've graduated onto bigger and better things. That's definitely, it feels like the behavior of the system, you know, from the limited experience we've had so far, that whatever that limitation was, it's been removed.
Yeah, resolved for sure. And this is before, this is before Cortex 2.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it feels like it's over. I know it might be early to say this, but I think I've done enough rides now consistently. And again, it is a little bit rough around the edges in some spots, in some situations where you, like, again, like the force drop off, and sometimes it drops you off a little far away from like a spot. For example, like today we put in a coffee shop that was in a parking lot, and then it dropped us off on the side of the street, but then it picked us up in the parking lot. So I'm like, why don't you just drop us off in the parking lot?
That's
and we were kind of like what the Waymo did, but it did so in like a very, like in one of those places where you can pull off to the side of the street and just park on the street kind of thing, instead of in the middle of the road. But outside of those corner cases, which they will 1000% resolve very quickly because they have the data to do so and they have the methodology to do so, to me, it really does feel like they have the perfect opportunity to just vastly expand in Austin and just dominate this area to the maximum. So getting into the bigger portions of the city, so actually going into the proper city, then quickly expanding to the suburbs, and then going to the exurbs, like going on the outer shell, and then maybe going to San Marcos or Waco or San Antonio, before expanding to other cities. I would like to see Tesla do that. Just dominate Central Texas. Just dominate Central Texas, because that gives number one, the public here a huge bonus, because now you'll have access to cheaper transportation per mile to go anywhere in a very comfortable car.
Like such an investor,
huh?
You want maximum clarity for the future of the stock price as quickly as possible, instead of maximum cash flow for Tesla, which would be to actually
no I think this step proves out the rest of them. It makes the rest of them happen faster, because then you'll have a use case you can sell to regulators that say, if you let me come to your metropolitan area tomorrow, look at what happens. It becomes a selling point for the product.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah. It also like...
And I also think about it.
You also give all the people who hate it ammunition to like, oh, as soon as this happens, all of your Uber ride or drivers will lose their jobs.
Correct. And that's the flip side.
Yep.
That's the unfortunate flip side. And that's 100% correct. And that is an unfortunate situation. But that's the government's role to figure out how to create a support system or some sort of framework for the economy to be able to absorb that kind of impact and to allow free market to reign, or put in proper transitionary programs so that, you know, those Uber drivers have a place to something else to pick up. You know, like the gig economy needs to thrive. But this is coming anyway.
I mean, but what you're doing is you're, you know, that wasn't necessarily the approach that Uber took, and Uber made it everywhere. And so, you know, I don't know if there's legitimacy to the strategy of kind of boiling the frog. You know, they went far and wide and then increased density.
Could do that.
Maybe this would be a good conversation to have with Harry and see, because he probably knows a lot more about the exact strategy. You know, did they completely try to saturate a market and then go to the next market with Ubers, or did they try to add more markets and then over time saturated them? Yeah, what is the strategy that worked there? Because, you know, they had to work through a lot of the same types of regulatory hurdles that Tesla had to work through. And I think that, you know, their expansion might be, it's definitely going to be one of the analogies that gets used for comparing Tesla's expansion to.
Yeah. Yeah, and it very well could be that, you know, Tesla starts going to other. I just think that if you dominate central Texas, you have everything in one place. You can iron out all the bugs. You have all the cars in the same place. You learn how to expand. You learn where you need to, if you need to add additional superchargers, your cleaning logistics, et cetera, et cetera. You have everything in one place, and you just kind of go out. And then once you hit critical mass where you can go from Austin to San Antonio to Dallas, and let's say, you know, to Fredericksburg and whatever the hell is east of here. Bastrop, yeah, even further east even. Just get that hub, make it the place where robotaxi has become the form of transportation from point A to point B for most people that want to take rideshare. Just dominate the market and then take all your learnings there and then go into LA, start in the center city, boom, expand. Go into SF, start in the center city, boom. And then eventually you'll get overlapping circles. You know, you go so far out that you start getting overlapping circles. But you start in those like central locations, you know. That would be my preference. But again, if they go city to city, that's fine too. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I think the ultimate lesson here is, I think Tesla has shown that they have the foundation for this thing to expand extremely fast. Dude, on the first day of Tesla Robotaxi, it outperformed Waymo in some of the most complex situations. I literally saw it with my own two eyes. Waymo has been doing this for 3 years, 5 years. You know, that's the one thing that the people that are like shitting on Robotaxi are like, Waymo has been around forever. I'm like, well, I just watched it completely fuck up Terry Black's like crazy. And the Robotaxi is doing just fine. So how do you explain that? How do you explain that? Mm-hmm. On day one, Robotaxi is better than Waymo. So doesn't that imply Robotaxi is going to expand much faster than Waymo? By the way, they're making 1.2 million of those Robotaxis you just saw. Waymo's making 2,000.
You shut up with your logic and fact.
I am an asshole, Hans. I'm a terrible person. Yeah, dude. It is such a fascinating time. It's a very fascinating, weird time. Yeah.
Very, very much so. Yeah. And it's only going to get stranger and crazier. I mean, we're also on the brink of having a apparently they're just going to go straight to Grok 4 now instead of Grok 3.5. And we know that there's going to be an integration of Grok into the Tesla vehicles as well. Yeah, like we are in a phase of technological disruption that is intense. And yeah, this is just the beginning.
Just the beginning. Should we call it there since we're both so burnt out from the whole week? Or do you have something else you want to hit?
Well, we didn't, like, I didn't ask you about your experiences yet. Like, how...
Outside of that first day, it's been flawless, man. Like, I mean, like outside of very nitpicky stuff where it's like on the margins of like, you know, it's great. Comfortable. I love that it's synced to my account. It's just very smooth. When I took my brother took a Waymo before, and he's done Uber for a ton, and he had a transportation business in Pennsylvania that he ran with his Model X. And so he's very intimate, and you know, he's worked for transportation companies, so he's very intimate with transportation. And his big thing going into the Tesla was to figure out how it would perform versus the Waymo. And the feedback he had was, you know, it's way smoother than the Waymo. Now, the Waymo, like you said, with James, so James Dama said that they've done some sort of update to make the Waymo drive a lot smoother. That's what I'm going to do on next week, is I'm going to test the hell out of Waymo and see how it performs in the same exact routes that the Robotaxi is doing right now.
It's smoother than it was before. He didn't say that it's smoother than the Tesla.
I think he said
the Tesla is smoother, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm curious to see how they compare. Like, how janky is it? How, like, acceleration, braking? The one thing my brother was saying is that the Waymo would, the braking was very uneven. So it would accelerate and brake very unevenly, and it would turn kind of like harsh in spots, whereas the Tesla was smooth as silk, forward, backwards, left, right, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm excited to do that. So,
yeah, I'm excited to hear your feedback. Several people have asked me, how was it compared to the Waymos? I was like, well, I didn't have any time to ride no Waymos. I was just trying to ride. Like, I only got 13 rides total in the week, and that was every chance I got, I was taking robotaxis. So,
and again, the Waymo into Austin is limited to only the user, the Uber app, and you have to create a certain environment where you increase your chances to get a Waymo. You can't even outright call a Waymo, right?
Yep.
So, real quick, for everybody, the first fully autonomous delivery of a Tesla Model Y from factory to a customer home across town, including highways, was just completed a day ahead of schedule. Congrats to the Tesla AI teams, both software and chip design. I mean, regardless, I mean, what that points to is, hey, they're about to expand. That's the signal I get out of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's one more feather in the cap of Tesla's AI software doing useful work.
Yep.
Like, it just keeps expanding its capability, its footprint. I'd love to know, you know, what general vicinity was it delivered to? Did it get delivered inside of the robotaxi geofence?
Well, it would have been highway, so maybe not.
Yeah. I mean, it could have been anywhere around Austin. And so, you know, did it get to benefit from the whatever they've done to help robotaxi work in that one area in Austin? Or was it just standard software? I think a lot of people have been speculating that there has to be a new FSD update to customers in order for that to work, or that, you know, that specific car that got delivered today would be on a different version of FSD when it was delivered to the customer. But I don't think that that's true. They have a special version of the software that it's operating before customer delivery already, and so I think it would be inside of that package, and then that doesn't necessarily mean that once it's delivered that's available to the person who's receiving it.
I agree 100% with that. It is very, I do think we're starting to get some signal that the expansion of this network is probably going to come faster than most people think. Versus, you know, I don't think it's going to happen in 2 weeks where they're going to yank the safety driver and start expanding. But by the end of the year, I think a significant portion of Austin could very well be like Austin and maybe the metro area could be covered with these cars because Tesla has the scale, you know?
The only other thing that I actually did want to talk about today was, did you see Andre Karpathy's Y Combinator?
No.
It was really good. And just at a high level, he was talking about how, you know, obviously during his time at Tesla, he was working on this transition from what he calls software 1.0 to software 2.0, where, you know, software 1.0 is the human written lines of C++ code, and software 2.0 is, you know, these giant neural networks that you give it data and then it figures out what the program is that produces, like you give it data and you tell it what you want.
Yeah.
And then it figures out what to do in the middle to give you what you want in the scenarios that you fed it.
Yeah.
And that now he talked about the fact that what we're seeing is software 3.0, where, you know, these LLMs actually have the ability to write code and go out and do tasks. So he's kind of giving a whole new classification to what OpenAI has kind of started and kicked off in the world of software. But he had a really cool analogy for how we move from what is augmentation to agents. So that, you know, he used the analogy of the Iron Man suit. That, you know, for so many of these AI tools, they start out like Tony Stark wearing the Iron Man suit, where it's the human and the machine together working, and, you know, they can do way more than either one of them can on their own. Over time, what these things are able to do is then to be like the Iron Man suit that just flies around without, you know, where Jarvis is controlling it and Tony's not even in the suit. And so that's, you know, a visual of the difference between an augmented human AI system and a completely autonomous agentic AI system. And, you know, he used even Tesla as an example of you're just slowly moving the slider, like you have a continuous slider and you're moving it from human and AI system then to fully agentic on the other side, and you're moving it slowly, 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 from one extreme to the other. And we are very, very close now to this being fully agentic, fully autonomous, when it comes to drivers specifically for Teslas. And the fact that we have these safety monitors in the car, like they are there, but like they're there just in a supervisory capacity. And, you know, that's how they developed all of the AI driving in the first place. Like we were those supervisors and we were in the driver's seat for a long time. And now they've graduated from needing that to just having someone there as a very, very last resort. And it's not going to be that long before even the safety monitors are removed. And at that point, it's going to be clear that this is, you know, just a completely autonomous system. And that's what I was wondering about with the car that was driven to a customer delivery. Like, was there a safety monitor in the car? No, maybe not. Maybe. All right, everybody, quick update here. This conversation between Farzad and I was recorded yesterday on June 27th, which was Friday. This morning is Saturday, June 28th. And not only did we get confirmation from Elon via X that there was no one in the car, but we actually got video of the car driving fully autonomously on the highway on its way to deliver itself to that customer there in Austin. And so it, of course, is going to originate from the factory. That location that it left from is outside of the geofence for the robotaxi, and then the delivery happened inside of the geofenced area. And so it was able to start outside of the geofence area and then travel on highways, which are not allowed even inside the geofence for robotaxi. So these are kind of some of the nuanced details that we've seen. And furthermore, we also, I believe, have confirmation that the customer doesn't have any special version of FSD on their car, that once the car arrived, that the Tesla autopilot team actually disabled the specific software that allowed it to do that. So anyways, that's the update that we have this morning based on new details. And now back to the rest of the conversation. But whenever we do see those first, you know, no human safety monitor drives, then that marks the end of the slider being taken all the way to fully autonomous. And then the thing that's crazy about that is, well, yeah, you know, Jarvis was amazing, the Iron Man suit is amazing, but that was a really expensive piece of hardware. He couldn't have like infinite of those suits just going around and doing whatever. Like, you can imagine that being an ultimate Iron Man boss where someone goes and clones all his suits and he has to defeat like a billion Iron Man suits. But that's the way that Tesla has built Robotaxi, is that they can essentially flip a switch and build just millions and millions of these autonomous driving agents that then make the cost of transportation essentially zero.
It's pretty unbelievable. Like that Cybercab, that first Cybercab off the line is going to be the, like, it's almost like a 1,000 years in the future. It's going to be this relic of when humanity transitioned from exactly what you described. And that's going to be one of the very first examples of like agentic AI, like at scale, is that works all the time.
It's like the Snow White song, "The Whistle While You Work." Like, they're going to be coming off of the manufacturing line, going to drive people around, just like one after the other, infinitely.
Yeah.
Quasi infinitely. Yeah, it's going to be nuts.
It's limited by the number of factories and the materials that you can pump to those factories. There's no limitation of drivers. It's going to get weird. It's going to get really weird. And it's going to get really weird really fast. It's going to get really weird really fast. I think folks are underestimating. Like, it's like kind of like, you know, days happen in years and then years happen in days. We're about to transition from days happen. Like the start of this robotaxi trial is the transition from days happen in years to years happen in days. And I think it's going to hockey stick here in a little bit.
And so what's happening is, you know, the disruption is beginning. And remember that disruption is chaotic and unpredictable. And so, like, now we're going to enter into a season of extreme noise, extreme narrative battles. You know, there's going to be claims that and goalposts that are moved from now until the point where, you know, I don't know what ends up being the metric, is like 30% of Uber's fleet or 50% of Uber's fleet or 100% of Uber's fleet. Like, you know, where does everyone finally accept? Does the entire market, even the bears who think this company is built on nothing but fraud, where do even they end up getting forced to admit that, oh yeah, Tesla literally destroyed everyone in this space? And from now until then, it's just going to be intense, like, volatility and arguments and media FUD and craziness.
It's going to be the navigation of the first accident, the first death. Those things are going to be
big lawsuits,
which they're going to come. Without a shadow of a doubt. Nothing's going to be perfect in this. And I think it's there will be chaos. There will be mistakes that happen 100%. I mean, Waymo's not. We're seeing Waymo's make mistakes all the time. Tesla's going to have hopefully a much lower rate of mistakes. Humans make mistakes all the freaking time on the road, right? And the bar is we need to get way better than humans so that we can start creating a safer environment for people, right? That's ultimately the goal here, truly. So as we get to that point, there will be missteps. So the question becomes, how will the company navigate those missteps as they are uniquely positioned to, you know, do that Snow White example of just like, you know, the cybercabs flying out of the factory in the millions of units per year, just permeating the world with self-driving units that cost pennies on the mile.
Yeah, it's essentially the gift of free transportation to the world. I mean, the marginal cost of transportation is going to zero.
Yeah. And then at a point, is you're just going to be paying for electricity and tires. And a tiny little bit of fee for cleaning and maintenance and insurance, because deaths and injuries will be so rare that insurance will cost much, 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 much less than a typical car.
So. Yeah, payouts will probably be much, much, much greater than typical cars too.
That's true.
Less frequent.
Insurance will be the largest cost of the car by far.
Yeah, quite possibly.
Yeah. It could be 80% of the cost of insurance, but it's still 15 cents a mile or 20 cents a mile long term. So anyway.
Well, hopefully less, but yeah.
Yep. Whatever the number is. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
It's over. It's done. Speechless. Oh my God. What are the other ones that we've used? I'm shocked. Look out. It's time. This is it. It is time.
Get ready.
Drop your favorite clickbait headline on the thumbnail in the comment section below. All right.